Okay, we're continuing in the Sefer Bilvavi Mishkan Evna's commentary on the Mesillas Yesharim. We're on page Resh. We're talking about Dveikus. We're talking about David HaMelech saying, Vani kirvas Elokim li tov, that for me coming close to Hashem is good. And the author is showing how this is different than the idea of Dveikus. Luzzatto said that the purpose for life is dveikus, achieving dveikus. David HaMelech says, and he as a proof, he says, and David HaMelech said, "Ani kirves Elokim litov," and for me, being close to Hashem is good. So, is it kirve or is it dveikus? So that's what he ended off with, that question. So we're on the top of page Resh. Is everything good over there?
Close. I'm not sure why.
So move the table back.
Oh,
that's not going to help. I'm going to be just as far.
Okay. Goodbye.
Okay, so we're on the third line on page Resh, and he answers. Bevare shehakirva hi lifnei hashalav shaladvekas hashlema. Certainly, this aspect of coming close, kirva means to come close, comes before the level of complete dvekas, complete bonding. V'nazbiris oimek ha-musagim. And let me explain the depths of these concepts. Kemosha Nira Lahalan, just as we'll see later on in the 26th chapter. It is impossible for a person by himself, with his own efforts, to totally bond to Hashem. It's not possible. You can only be totally attached to Hashem when you get it as a gift from Hashem. It's not humanly possible to bond with Hashem totally. You can in partially, but not totally. The dynamics is impossible for it to happen alone. It must be a gift from Hashem, just like prophecy is a gift from Hashem. You could try all day long to be a prophet. At the end of the day, if Hashem doesn't give it to you, you're not going to get it. And therefore, if you don't get the gift of Dveikus, now, of course, you have to do a lot of effort to get there. But at the end of the day, it's a gift. A person can reach a level, sometimes he feels like he's cleaving to Hashem, and sometimes not. But to be permanently that way, he can't. So, Adam v'matzav kazeh nikra karov. A person like that is called close, but lo dovak lagarmi, but not totally attached. Attached means inseparable. Karov means close. So, we're close for a while. You don't even need expressions, we're close, but there is a difference between the word close and inseparable. And close is, at a certain time we're close. Inseparable means it's always that way. Imkain comes out. When it comes to the side of the person, his effort, what's in his ability is to be close. But the true inseparableness, that comes as a gift from Hashem. That is dveikus. And that's what the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says. It's not upon you to finish the job. You aren't free to not try your best from that, to achieve the goals. That means a person from his own side can try to make himself as close as possible. He tries to put his point of reality the closest he can, and that's his obligation. Get as close as you can. But you don't have the ability on your own to get to that final point. Shum there, Zohi Matna Shemaim, that's a gift from Hashem. So he resolved the question after saying that if you look deeply, the real, true perfection is Dveikus. That is a permanent state of Dveikus. And what David HaMelech said is, and I, from my side, try my best to reach Dveikus, which the best I could do is Kirvas, which is, at times I'll feel this attachment, at times not, because I'm human, and then I have to hope that Hashem is going to give me the rest, that I will permanently feel that way. And then he continues with the words of the Mesil Shasharm again, and continues with the words of David HaMelech. The Yomer and David HaMelech also said, Ach ha-sha'alti me'es Hashem osa avakesh. One thing I ask from Hashem, and that is what I ask. Interesting. Seems to be repeating himself. Achas sha'alti me'es Hashem. It's one thing I ask from Hashem. Osa it avakesh, I ask. Well, it's No, obviously there are two Hebrew words that are different words, but in English, of course we don't know what we're talking about. That's what I'm trying to point out. Sha'al means to ask something. Avakesh means I'm asking for something. I'm making a bakasha. What's a bakasha? It's a request. Bakasha is a request. Sha'alti means I'm asking for something. Right? As you see in the next part of the pasuk. The next part was Shiv to Beis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayei. I should sit in the house of Hashem all the days of my life. Lachasos Benoam Hashem, to have a vision of the pleasantness of Hashem. Ulavakir Becholo, and to visit His sanctuary. So, what's going on over here? So anyway, there's a lot of problems with this pasuk. The pasuk says Yesh Nolchoras Stira Ben Areishal LeSefer. He asks a different question. In this pasuk, there appears to be a contradiction between the beginning part of the pasuk and the end of the pasuk. He says, "Ach hashalti meis Hashem osa vakesh." I ask from one thing. Ani mavakesh rak dover echad. I'm only asking for one thing. Mao, what is it? Shiv to beis Hashem. I should sit in the house of Hashem. Dover echad. That's one thing. And what about the next clause? Lachsos benoam Hashem, and to envision the pleasantness of Hashem, davar sheni, that's the second thing. Ulavakir be'echalo, and to visit His sanctuary, davar shlishi, that's the third thing. Humas lo ba'achashalti, and mavakash lo shedvar. He asks for one thing and ends up asking for three. Sheli do, it's a great question. As a matter of fact, the Medrash points this out clearly. When Medrash says that when David HaMelech said this pasuk, Hashem said, is this Derech Eretz? Is this a nice thing? You go to the king, you ask him for one thing, and then you say, I'm going to ask you for one thing, and he asks for three. I was like, the Mashulach comes and says, I need to talk to you about my tzedakah organization. Then when he comes, he tells you about three. And he asks for three donations. You only asked about one, and now you ask him for three. So what did David HaMelech answer? David HaMelech says, I learned from you, Hashem. You said, "Va'ata Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecha Dorish Mimcha." You Jewish, what does Hashem ask from you? You know, what am I asking from you already? Right? To fear Hashem, and then to fear Hashem, and to love Hashem, and to go in His ways, and blah 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 blah, and about four or five things. And you said, "What do I want from you?" But only, which would imply I only want one thing from you. And you asked for a lot of things. So I did the same thing as you did. I learned from you. So you see, the Medrash itself is the source of this question, which really needs some answers. So we'll give his answer, and then we'll maybe add on something to this as well. He says that Chuvahi, the answer is, Bakashoso shel David HaMelech al Hashem hoy. So what was David's request? The real request was, Shifti beveis Hashem. I want to sit in the house of Hashem. Meaning, L'sheves beveiso shel Hashem tamid. I want to constantly, continuously live in Hashem's house. Ulavakir beheichalo, and to visit His sanctuary. Levakir means to visit. Beheichal leprakim, from time to time. From time to time, I want to visit His sanctuary. I want to live with Him constantly, and from time to time, I want to visit His sanctuary. What is going on over here? Midubar al Adam ki David HaMelech Hashem. We're talking about a person like David HaMelech, she'davuk tamid bevaro, who was constantly clinging to Hashem. Unavar, we'll explain what we mean over here. Chayei kol Adam ba'olam benuyim meratzo v'shov. He's now saying a mystical concept here. The life of a person in this world is predicated on a concept called ratzo v'shov. Ratzo v'shov means coming and going. like going, running away and returning. Ruts, running away, v'shov and returning. That's what human life is all about. In other words, there's times where we are close to Hashem, and then there's times where we go away from Hashem, and then we come back to Hashem. That's what life is all about. And that's really what the human soul is all about. What do we mean to say? What we say that the Ner Elokim, Nishmas Adam, the candle of Hashem is the human soul. And why is that? You look at a candle, when you look at a flame, what does a flame do? It flickers. Flickers. So what I don't want to get into the whole spiritual idea. The flame now, we've said it many times, but the point here that relates to this point here is the flame goes against gravity because it's going up. It's trying to get close to Hashem. It wants to jump off the wick. It defies gravity. If you gave it its druthers, it would jump off the wick and go up to Hashem. But then if that would happen, then it would totally cease to exist. So after the flame jumps up, it comes back down. It has to stay connected to the wick or it's finished. So it's Ratzov Vashov. It like goes away when the wick goes down, when the flame goes up, then when the flame goes up. It's Ratzov Vashov. That's how life is. That's how life is. Ratzov Vashov. So, in other words, there's times of much more closeness and there's times of less closeness. That's what life is in this world. In the next world, it won't be that way. In the next world, you'll permanently be next to Hashem. But in this world, that's, you know, or on a simpler level, there are times you feel closer to Hashem and you don't feel less close to Hashem. Everything seems to be going well, you're learning well, you're davening well, everything's going well, and you're really feeling close to Hashem. And all of a sudden things, there could be Hester upon him, let's say, where Hashem is hiding his face, and things aren't so clear, and then you start going into a spiral down for a little while. Vashal, Ratzal, you're going away from Hashem. And then you do tshuva, it's shov, you come back to Hashem. That's what life is all about. So Hashelahi, the question therefore is Rakhechan Hu Haratso Shala Adam Vechan Washushal. The only point is, where is the running away of the person and where is the returning of the person? And there's, how do we define the parameters of this? And for different people it's different Ratzos Vashov. That's a human condition. A person always is coming and going. Running away, right? You know, if you're afraid Hashem, you know, Yonah runs away from Hashem, then he comes back to Hashem. You're afraid Din Avera, right? You run away from Hashem. You know, you think, oh, he's going to punish me, I better run away. And then, but then you come back. You say you're sorry. So his life is filled with Ratzos Vashovs. So that's how it is in relationships. Ratzos Vashov. So the only point of that makes the difference, that's the way all humans are. Question is, what's your point of return to? And how far do you go away? If a person is not connected to Hashem, we're on page Reish Aleph. What's his Ratzov Vashov, running away and coming back? Sometimes you find him on the outside. Michutz l'beis Hashem, outside of Hashem's house. And sometimes inside the Beis Hashem. Right? Your typical Orthodox Jew, or, you know, a little better, I don't know. You know, so Shabbos, he comes back to Hashem. Right? And he mamish davens, even davens nicely in shul. Right? He learns. He stays for Shal Shudas. Whatever. Nice Jew. That's for Shov. He's returned to Hashem. Shabbos, returned to Hashem. As soon as it's mamish, the second the Shabbos is over, he's gone. And where is he? He's not in a place anywhere close to Hashem. He's doing Saturday night activities like the rest of the world does Saturday night activities. Hashem is not part of those plans. He's not going to hear Rabbi Reisman's shir. He's not going to father and son learning. It's a different world. It's a world where Hashem is not part of that world. Right? So that's Ratzo. He runs away. Hopefully by next morning he'll come to Shacharis for show if he comes back. But the person really, when he goes, he goes. He leaves Hashem's house. And then he comes back to Hashem's house. Right? That's one type of person. Ava Adam Shetamid Nimtza B'Dveikus, a person who's constantly in a state of Dveikus. V'Hashov Shalom, if his Shov is Shifti B'Veis Hashem, that I want to sit in the house of Hashem. See, it's subtle over here. The first person, he says, either you're outside or you're inside, but you ain't sitting inside. Let me articulate the first person a little bit better. He's the guy who comes to shul on Shabbos, he sits in the back. But usually, not like in our shul, where you have to go make efforts to come to the back. Most shuls, it's one step in and you're in the back, which means you're one step out. That's a typical shul. Our, you know, doesn't work that way. But, you know, in other words, you got the chevra who are, you know, they come in, but I don't want to sit down. You know. And if I do it, it's in the back. But usually if you notice, it's mamish, that's the way it is. In certain shuls where the talkers are, they're usually standing in the back. Bedafka, standing and in the back and talking. You know, they don't feel comfortable in the shul because they really don't daven so much. Right? So these are people who are in the house, but they ain't sitting in the house. Right? So their ratzova shov is right at the back entrance and then out. Right? That's, you know, one type of person. The other person, if his dveikus is that he's mamish sitting in the house of Hashem. So he's like really close. He's really close. He sits up front. And he's really davening. So how, in other words, how far away will your regression be? The running away is in comparison to where they're coming closest. If the closest you can come, you know, is that, you know, you come to shul, you know, halfway through the davening, and you're standing in the back and schmoozing, and you believe that is my commitment to my Yiddishkeit, and, you know, you're out of the Kiddush club for the other half where you're there, but so I'm in the building, right? Or you're babysitting your kids and not davening, etc., etc. So how far away, that's the shov. Then how far away is the ratzo going to be? On the other hand, the person who's sitting, his mom is sitting there. I mean, I'm living there. That's my experience. I'm taking in that experience. My mom is taking in that experience. And I'm feeling this closeness to Hashem. Right? So now how far away will the ratzo go? So you know how far away he is? Levaker Behecha Shomach, to visit the sanctuary of the king. Shom HaMelech Ba'atzma Yoshev, that's where the king himself sits. In other words, so if I'm not sitting, so I'm being like a visitor. In other words, I'm not really there. I'm not sitting there. Then maybe my worst is I'm standing in the back. That's the worst. I'm still in the palace, but I'm more as a visitor. Either I'm living, but the ratzo is I feel like I'm living there. I feel like I'm one of the children of the king. There's times when I'm living there, I feel like I'm a child of the king. Other times I feel like I'm visiting. You know, sometimes you visit, you know, we're not staying long, we're just visiting. Right? So his shov isn't that bad. So the guy who's mamish dovah, the guy who's learning and he's this and that. So his ratzol is, you know, so maybe he's in the shul, he shmoozes for a couple months in the shul. Now his ratzol is better than the other guy's shov. You understand? You only go to a certain degree far as based on how close you were. You follow? So that's what's going on with David HaMelech. So the batola, the quote unquote, you know, not dveikus, still has him in the palace. But as a visitor, not as one who's living in the palace. Zoe habachina shem Moshe Rabbeinu histakel bespaklier amira. This is the aspect that it says that Moshe Rabbeinu is able to look at Hashem in a clear glass, clear vision. Vishark lamvim histakel bespaklier shenamira. And all the other prophets, they saw Hashem without a clarity like that. So levaker bechelo, visiting his sanctuary means inyano shekivyachol uroes tmus hamelech aspaklier amira. I don't understand what he's saying now. The concept of that is that he sees the image of the king with a clear vision. I would reverse it. I don't understand this. Shiv Beis Hashem, sitting in the house of Hashem, right? Who osa matzo shalachorei yiro uponai liru. It's like when Hashem says, you'll see the back and not the front. Aspakla she'ena miria. A vision that's not so clear. So that's not so clear. That's Shifti Beis Hashem.
Right. So what he's saying is that his
which is closer, Shifti Beis Hashem?
He's saying
or,
the opposite. He's saying that Shifti, which is his starting point, is not so clear. the part where he's coming close, the Ratzo, is Levakir.
No, but he's not saying the Ratzo is going away. Ratzo.
Show. Okay, so
is, but that's not what he said in the line before.
The show, right.
That's it. That's why he's contradicting himself. The Ratzo, he says the Ratzo is the Levakir, Behechel Shel Melech. Unless you're defining Ratzo as running towards Hashem, it doesn't make sense. Shov means to return.
He says that the Ratzo is going towards and the Shov is going back.
All right, but I don't... going back, going away from Hashem? All right, okay, either... Okay, then he'd be explaining it differently then. Then he would be saying... He'd be saying that the Ratzo is getting close to Hashem. That's being in the actual sanctuary of the king, and the Shov is just sitting in the house of Hashem. Okay, so he's going from you're sitting far away to sitting closer. Alright, could be. What was the Ratzo v'shov of David HaMelech? The only point was, what was the quality of his recognizing Hashem? Sometimes it would be face to face, inside the sanctuary of the king. Sometimes from the back. Mashnikra Beis Hashem. Yeah, that's what he calls the house of Hashem. In other words, you can be in the house, or you can mamish be in the king's inner sanctuary. Right? So clear. So he's saying Levakir Beichel is a better one. I wouldn't use the word Levakir. Because Levakir hints to the fact that you're visiting and you're not sitting.
But that's his whole point.
You know, so he's saying you only get a chance. In other words, I'm sitting in the palace, and sometimes I really get a private audience with the king. So the Ratzo v'Shov, Ratzo running towards Hashem, Shov going away from Hashem. Okay, Ratzo is running towards Hashem, Shov is going back away from Hashem. Okay, so sometimes I'm close, sometimes I'm not as close. Im Kain comes up, Bakash Achas, it's only one request. Nobody lives in the same state all the time. A person's always fluid. Is always in a state of movement. The only question is, where is the person moving? Always go from the house to the inner sanctuary. From the house, and he said, but I'm always in the palace. And then he will get the highest pleasure of meriting to see Hashem. So what David HaMelech, basically, the way he's answering the question is, he only asked for one thing. His thing is that at my worst state, I should be in the palace, and with the opportunity to see Hashem, right? And Levakir Beicholo, to visit the inner sanctuary, you know, that'll be on rare occasion. But that's what I'm trying. I'm trying to get to see him as much as possible. The worst is I'm in the palace. As opposed to others who, you know, the worst is they're very far away, and the closest is, you know, they can be inside a little bit. All right, so just have to reverse the Ratzo v'Shov over here. All right, so that was the one request that he makes. So, you know, so last week at the alternative class, we spoke about this pasuk as well, and it could be understood much deeper, not in contradiction to what he is saying over here. And we know, you know, in the Gemara, you know, everything you learn in Gemara, there's the simple legal way of understanding the Gemara, and then there is the mystical way of understanding the Gemara. So, for example, when you learn the Gemaras that talk about the Dalet Shomrim, the four guardians, there are four types of legal guardians, watchers, according to the Torah, in Parshas Mishpatim. There is one person who you give somebody an object to watch for you, and you do it for free. Guys, do me a favor. I'm going out of town. Can you watch my dog? Right, watch my dog. We'll be back in a week. Do me a favor. So that's called a shomer chinam, a person who watches for free. And what happens if, let's say, the dog bolts and runs away? And then the guy comes back and says, sorry, you know, I was in the backyard with a dog. He just ran away. You know. Do you have to pay him back a dog? I advise you pay him back a dog. Sod halacha is no, you're not. What if though, every night he told you to put the dog in the house and you let the dog roam around the streets at night and then the dog ran away? That would be negligence. And negligence, you're obliged to pay for negligence. What if a, 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 okay, So that's one type of watcher. Then there's another type of watcher called a shomer sachar, where the guy pays you to watch it. Pays you to watch it. Watch my dog, I'll pay $100 to watch the dog. You take it to a kennel now. You're paying them. So now, let's say the dog gets stolen. Would you be obliged to pay for that? The halacha is you're obliged to pay. Why? Because you were paid already. There was a higher degree of watching was expected of you. What if, the power went out and all the automatic locks and all the kennel doors were no longer working and the dog was able to escape? In other words, that was an accident. So halacha is potter. Doesn't have to pay. Even though I was paid to watch, only a certain degree of watching am I responsible for, but not all. Okay, then we have people who, on the other hand, let's say you rent something from someone. You rent a cow from somebody. That's the Gemara's example. You rent a cow. Or you rent a car for that matter. So it's a machlokas exactly how much responsibility you have. Certain levels of responsibility that we don't have to get into. Some say he's just like a paid watcher. Some say like the next one we're going to talk about. And the fourth one is a shoel. A shoel, remember that word, a shoel is someone who borrows something but doesn't pay for it. He borrows it and he doesn't have to pay at all. He still has to watch it. When you borrow something from someone, you still have to watch it. So not only are you're benefiting, but you have to watch it. So now what happens if you're negligent? Certainly have to pay. What happens if it gets lost or stolen? You certainly have to pay. What if there was an accident? You still have to pay. That's the law. Why? Because you had all the benefits. So if you borrow someone's tape recorder and you're walking and, you were in a rush, you were running, and somehow somebody bumped into you, and it broke. Too bad. You got to pay. Because you had all the benefits. You have to be extra careful. Be extra, extra careful. And you have to really worry about it. Because, the guy did you a big favor. You don't have to pay anything. That's how far the level of responsibility goes. So now, so that's very nice laws. But that's learning it on the simple legal level. Now, all this Torah is meant to be understood on a Kabbalistic deeper level. So, the code word for achas is a code word for a soul. Because really, the highest level of soul, levels of soul are nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, and the highest level of soul is called yechida. Yechida means totally one with Hashem. Every soul ultimately is totally connected to Hashem. That's the highest level. It's beyond what we can comprehend. But the code word for a soul is achas. Okay. So now, the word, now, this where we, my question gets answered, where it didn't get answered. We said sha'alti means I'm asking for one thing. Osavakesh, that's what I'm asking for. So the way this Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky explains Pshat like this, he says sha'al can also mean from the word shol, to borrow. Sha'al. How do you say I borrowed? Sha'alti. I borrowed. Sha'alti can mean also I asked, and usually it goes in hand in hand because to borrow you have to ask. You understand? How does anybody come to borrow? You ask him, and the guy says yes. So you're sha'al, you ask for it, and then you become a shoel, a guy who borrows for free because he asks for it. So David HaMelech is saying, achas sha'alti me'es Hashem. I have borrowed one thing from you, Hashem, and the one thing I borrowed from you is what? The holy neshama. Now, you could say, sometimes you ask to borrow, and sometimes, you're given it. But be that as it may, we have borrowed. We are not our souls. We've borrowed the soul. We have borrowed the soul. Right? So, if you borrow a soul, you've got to make sure whatever you borrow, you got to return it intact. So that's like the story with Reb Meir's two sons. That Reb Meir had two sons, and unbeknownst to him, on Shabbos, the two sons died. So the wife kept it from him to not to disturb his Shabbos. And then when Shabbos is over, she said to her husband, "You know, I just want to tell you what I was doing lately. There was this person who lent me two beautiful jewels, and he said it was very important you give them back to me the way they were. And I was so nervous the whole time if I would lose them, if they would break. So afraid when I was watching them. And thank God today, right after Shabbos, he came and he said, 'I want the jewels back,' and I gave him the jewels back. Exactly, he gave them to me, and he was so happy. And Baruch Hashem was so relieved. So Rav Meir says, 'Oh, I feel so good for you.' He says, 'Okay, so I just want you to know, you know, I'm going to show you where the jewels are.' So what do you mean where the jewels are? Takes him to the bedroom, shows the two sons that died, and says, 'Rav Meir, Hashem gave us two jewels. And I was worried if I was going to return these jewels back to Hashem the way He sent them to me.' He says, 'Baruch Hashem, we returned the two jewels just the same way you brought them to us. They were brought to us.' So that was her clever way of comforting her husband and at the same time telling her that her two sons died. But the point is, there's going to come a time where Hashem is going to say, 'Okay, I'm taking back the soul that you gave me.' And Hashem says, 'I gave you a pure and holy soul.' So comes the judgment day and Hashem takes a look and says, 'What did you do to my soul that I gave you?' And all of a sudden, he starts looking at what's going on over here. He looks at the averus you did. He looks at the treif that you ate. He looks at the lashon hara that you spoke. And all these things. Hashem says, is this called taking care of the soul I gave you? So you didn't take care of the soul. He says, 'Well, what could I do? You know, the yetzer hara, oh, he was a sneaky guy. He tricked me so many times. He kept telling me it was a mitzvah to talk lashon hara about this person, and I believed it was lashon hara. And it was an accident. I couldn't control myself. I had such a taiva. I was so hungry. I didn't check the hechsher so well.' And then Hashem shows it was no hechsher at all. It's just a rubber stamp. Says, 'We should have checked, but I was so hungry. It was beyond my control. I couldn't control myself. It was an accident.' So Hashem, or sometimes it's, the Yetzer Hara did Geneva's Das. He stole my intelligence. In other words, he fooled me, he tricked me. You know, or sometimes, you know, you're chayv for aveda, for lost objects. Sometimes I just felt lost. I was just in a terrible mood. Whatever. All these excuses. Hashem says, 'You're a shoel. A shoel is responsible for everything. You are negligent.' Whatever. He says, 'Now you got to pay. It's going to be a very bad day for every Jew when you come to that day, because we all are a shoel, we're all a borrower, and the owner's going to claim for all the damage we made to the neshama that Hashem gave us.' So if we left the story at this point, we'd be very sad. However, now there's one very intriguing halacha that the Torah tells us. Very intriguing halacha. The halacha is called Ba'alav Imo, if the owner is with him. It's a very unusual halacha, very unusual halacha. And I don't want to get into the details, but if while you're borrowing the item for free, the owner is with you at the time that you are borrowing it, it's a strange halacha, then even if for an accident, you don't have to pay. Let's say you're borrowing the cow, and you're plowing in the field, And you happen to invite the owner over and he's with you in the field while you're plowing with the cow. All of a sudden an accident happens and the cow gets killed. The Torah says you don't have to pay. You don't have to pay. That's a halacha that always disturbed me. Like, you try to understand the logic of that. It's a hard logic to understand because I don't understand. You borrowed. You still borrowed. It's not all the responsibilities. So you figure out, so I thought of this, let's say, for example, you're driving, you borrow a guy's car. It's a little easier to understand. Borrow his car, and the owner says, "Oh, you're towing the car, you're going somewhere. Listen, you're going somewhere anyway. Do me a favor, can you give me a ride? Drop me off along the way?" I say, "For sure, you're the owner. I'll take you for a ride." And while you're giving him the ride, he's in the car with you, you're in an accident. A guy's fault, he runs into you. And there's no insurance in those days, right? So then the guy says, "You got to pay for the car." "No, the Torah says, Balavim, if the owner's with you, I don't got to pay. I don't have to pay." That's a law of the Torah. It's a law of the Torah. I didn't make it up. So, okay, you could say, you turn around and say, "Listen, you can't fault me because it wouldn't have been any different if you would have been there because you were here. You understand? You were in the car with me. If you thought I was doing something dangerous, you should have told me. You know, so even if you were with the cow, the accident would have happened. Accident means not in your control. If it's negligence or something like that, well, then you could say, okay, I was negligent. So the owner says, I wouldn't have been negligent. Or more than that, if the owner saw you were negligent, why didn't he, and he's with you, why doesn't he tell you, let's say you're speeding, you're being negligent, and the owner's in the car, and he's watching you, you're going 150 kilometers on the DVP, and he's in the car with you, he's not saying anything. And he gets an accident, he says, you were negligent. What do you mean you were negligent? Why didn't you tell me to slow down? Right? I didn't lock the garage door. But you were with me when I didn't lock the garage door. Why didn't you tell me to lock the garage door? And then it got stolen. And so what would be a difference if it's an accident? It's an accident. And if you were with the cow, would the accident have not happened? Would have happened as well. So it's a very big chiddush, the tremendous chiddush of the Torah, that it's saying if the owner's with you, you don't have to pay. Okay, so that's an interesting halacha, but it has much more monumental implications when we look at it on the in the esoteric level. So when Hashem comes to you and he says, look what you did to that neshama I lent you. You weren't careful. Look what happened. You're chayiv. But it was an accident. You're chayiv. A shul. You're chayiv for everything. He says, yes, but Hashem, I have one loophole. The loophole is ba'al of imo. The owner was with me. Mean to say, Hashem, I always took you with me wherever I went. Every time I went somewhere, I was cognizant of you being with me. Yeah, I davened, and when I'd get, you know, and I'd come to the situation, I'd say, Hashem, please help me. Hashem, be with me. Hashem, you're always with me. And that's everything the Bilvavi Sefer has been teaching us from all the things that you're always trying to be. I was always trying to be close to you, and you were with me. Right? Va'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. Make for me a sanctuary, I will dwell in them. Hashem, you were dwelling with me. I invited you into my life. I tried my best to really make you a nice dwelling with me as best as I could. But you know what? I made some mistakes. There were some accidents. Things beyond my control. And doesn't your Torah say if the owner is with you, you don't have to pay? So the owner is with me. I don't have to pay. And that's what David HaMelech, if you look in the whole kapitel, so that's an unbelievable idea. It's an unbelievable idea. People who don't daven, don't think about Hashem, and Hashem's not on your mind. You don't have that pitur. You don't have that leniency of the master being with you. You know, you were negligent. The master was never with you. And, you know, it didn't really matter that much to you. But a person who invites Hashem into his life, and you're trying to bring Hashem closer, right? And there are times, and I don't want to get into the details, that halacha bal of imo, you should know, it's that the owner doesn't have to be with you all the time. Even if he was with you only part of the time, even when the accident didn't happen, you're putter. Even if only at the time of the lending it, the guy, you borrow it and say, listen, you know, I have to do something. Can you do it with me for a little while? You know, show me exactly how to work this cow. Okay, I'll come with you and I'll help you work a little bit. And then he goes away. In other words, even if only part of the time the owner was with you, your potter. So what he's saying is if you made Hashem part of your life, means you wanted Hashem to be with you, then of course, yes, you made mistakes. Well, if Hashem is with you, how can you even make any mistakes? Yeah. Rav Sol Vishal, you know, he's a little close, he's a little further away, but at the end of the day, I always came back to you, Hashem. At the end of the day, I always came back to you. End of the day, I said my kriyish malamit. I said, I'm sorry for what I may have done, and please forgive me. At the beginning of the day, I was davening, and I came to mincha. You know, okay, maybe it worked. Maybe I wasn't so careful. The taivas of making parnasa, maybe I cheated a little bit. Okay, but you were with me. I always came back to you. Then Hashem has to, your potter. Your potter. And that's such a problem. And that's what David HaMelech was saying. I've borrowed one thing from you. And therefore, O Savakesh, so what do I ask from you? Is that what? Is that Ba'ol of Imo? Is that you should be with me? Shiv Tves Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai. That I should be living in your house all my life. And then he goes on. Look in the that kapitel. It's very interesting. This pasuk is in which chapter of Tehillim? Hello? Which one?
No,
No.
In Elul,
the David Hashem or the Yishi, we say it 40 days. Interesting, we're saying it before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and Sukkot time. That's the time to get close to Hashem. That is the prime time that you get close to Hashem. And the two men, you go through this kibbutz, boy, is he asking for a lot of things. We haven't even begun to get to all the things. He says, when evildoers approach me to devour my flesh, my tormentors and my foes against me, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army may besiege me, my heart would not fear. Though war would arise against me, in this I trust. And now he says, one thing I ask of Hashem, etc., etc. Indeed, he will hide me in his shelter on the day of evil. What does that mean? He won't punish me when I deserve to get punished. He will conceal me in the concealment of his tent. He will lift me upon a rock. Now my hand is raised above my enemies around me, and I will slaughter, blah, 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 blah. Well, he's asking for a million things over here. The answer is, if you're close to Hashem, you deserve it all. So it's really only one thing. You want one thing. I want the Baal to be with me. I want Baal Avimo. I want the Master to be with me. And if the Master is with me, then I'm not asking for a lot of things. You know, wherever I am, I'm bringing the Master with me, the Baal Avimo. And therefore, at the end of the day, Hashem, you should forgive me. And that's Taka. That's Taka why. That's Taka why David HaMelech, in spite of the fact that he had two great sins, much more than Shaul HaMelech did, he got forgiven. Because he had a greater consciousness of Baal of Imo than Shaul HaMelech. Not taking away from Shaul HaMelech at all, but David HaMelech, he wrote the Ilum. That's pouring out your whole heart to Hashem. That's real dvekas. You write love poetry to God, you're a lot closer than a guy who's just a God-fearing person. So that's what you're trying to achieve on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You're trying to get to that level of Baal of Imo, that the Master is with you. And the Ratzova Shov that he's talking about here is consistent with that. And if I'm going far, I'm not going too far away from you. So the Master is always, can you imagine if the guy who's lending thing is always with you, he's going to have to even have more consideration. So that's Taka, something to think about in these parshas where we're talking about building the Mishkan. The whole idea of building the Mishkan was a temporary, was an itinerant sanctuary. It moved with you. So the whole idea is that you want Hashem, wherever you move, Hashem is with you. If Hashem is with you wherever you move, even though you're going to say, how could you sin? Hashem is with you. He says, okay, I'm a human being. What do you want? I'm a human being. But at the end of the day, I always wanted to be with you. Okay, I made some mistakes, but it was always in the context of being with you. And as long as that's there, there's always room for forgiveness. Mitch, you had a question?
It's just you know, the whole Gemara of the Master being with you.
Yeah.
You being with the Master. I mean, because the we could say the argument, Modeh Ani L'Hashem, right? We're thanking Hashem for giving us back the Neshama, which is Him with us all the time. It's
no, he gives you and then He can walk away.
No. He gave it back to us the next day.
And
we're thanking Him for it.
Yeah, but then, is He with us after that point? Whenever this.
Are we with Him at that?
Either way, but the two have to be together.
Well, He already did His part. He breathed life back into us.
I know, but that's not the status of Baal Avim. It doesn't mean the owner is with you. When you lend something, the first second He gives you, that's not called with you. Now you take it, you go. He gives you an neshama, you leave. He's not with you. Every day it's a new lending.
But the thing He gave you is a piece of Him.
Not really. Well, whatever it is, I don't want to get into that. But that, okay, you're getting into. Okay, it's a good question. You're getting into the deep thing. Yeah, okay, it's a piece of Him. But if you're not aware, if you don't remember Him, then He ain't with you.
Right. So that every morning you say Modeh Ani L'Hashem.
Yeah, but you're just saying it. Okay, you're saying it. Then the question is.
All the things that we do are things.
So here's the point. You're right. But that's the difference between robotic Judaism and non-robotic. When it's robotic, He ain't with you. You're doing it because that's what I do. A person kisses mezuzah, he may not even think that what he's doing. When it's robotic, when a Jew's going to shul and he's just reading the words, and he's not thinking that Hashem is in front of him when he's davening, then he's not bringing Hashem with him. He could be doing a lot of things. Let's say the thing he lent them has a big warning on it. Warning. Do not overheat. Do not do this. Right? That's a message from the owner. You're seeing it, oh, the owner's with me. No, 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 but you're not paying attention to it. If you're not paying attention, then you're not bringing Hashem in there. Okay, very good. Tomorrow we'll continue on with the Tanya.